Have you had your soup today? And the cold, crisp taste of Coke is so satisfying, it keeps me from eating something else that might really add those pounds.
Summer White, and I'm half a theologian. Geologian. I keep doing that. Anyway, I'm here with my ENFJ, Joy Temby, and we're here to put the she in a shirt.
Did you just...
Usher.
Usher. I thought you said
Usher. She is in Usher.
Usher, yeah.
So if you put me on
phonetically,
the spot,
it does not work, but
terrible.
If you look...
Happen.
She is in there.
Thank
so
you.
I stand by that.
Thank you. I appreciate you and the support. And so today we wanted to talk about confessionalism because we are confessional.
We are.
I would actually say that everyone is confessional.
And not in like the reality TV show sense. Not like the Jersey Shore confessionals.
Or the dashboard sense.
Yes. Yes.
We're the 1689 sense.
Right.
Right. And so I think it's important to talk about. In our last episode, we talked about inerrancy of scripture and why it's important.
Right.
And so obviously you and I hold to the doctrine of sola scriptura.
Yes.
Scripture alone.
Yes.
As the infallible rule authority of our faith and
life.
Life and all that we do. And it is God breathed and profitable for teaching. So why in the world do we have confessions?
Yeah.
So,
wasn't the Bible good enough?
It definitely is.
Yes.
Was and is currently good enough. But we subscribe to the 1689.
Yep.
I'm also cool with the 1646, also known as the Westminster.
Yes.
It came first. They like to joke about that.
Yeah.
And so one of the big things I really like about confessional churches, churches that subscribe to a historical confession, is that it's easy to know what they believe right after that. So when I moved back to Arizona from Georgia a year ago, one of my bottom lines was I want to find a church that subscribes to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. And that narrowed down my options, but it also let me know that I'm going to go to a church that I think 100% agree with doctrinally.
Right.
And so that's one of the major positives of confessionalism.
Right.
Is knowing what you believe, why you believe it.
Right.
And
in that same vein, it's good. Confessions are good for accountability.
Yes.
When someone has all the things they believe written down in one spot, it's easy to say, I don't agree with this. Can you tell me why? It's good for discussion.
Yes.
Good for accountability.
Yes.
And then, for a second, let's talk about like why the confessions were written, essentially. Like if the Bible is good enough for the Christian,
sure.
Like why do people write confessions?
Well, actually, there are confessions in scripture. And so we see, I should have brought this with me. I believe off the top of my head, please no one stab me. 1 John 5:13 is an ancient confession, and it was basically a response to a heresy that was being espoused at the time. And so one of the great things about confessions is they are short statements that kind of prove as guardrails and discriminatory lines.
Right.
Saying we believe this, not this.
Right. And many times they're written in that context.
Right.
There's a group of people says we believe this. And another group of people says, we think maybe that you got some things wrong biblically in there.
We affirm against the papists.
Yes, exactly.
Taxation is theft.
So it's not like people were just like hanging out in their ancient basements and they were like, wait a minute, let's just like write this all stuff down. It's so great. It's usually in response.
Right.
To something.
So the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed would be great examples of ancient confessions that most Christians do accept, and they are short, pithy. I mean, not that I would call the 1689 short, but they are short ways to say this is what we believe, this is what we don't believe. And one of the best things about, actually the best thing about the confessions, is that each statement in them is backed up by like a paragraph listing of the verses in scripture that we, that they got this statement from.
Right. The Bible is the final authority of the confessions.
Yes.
And should be your authority.
Yes.
So it's, the confessions were never meant to be your authority.
No.
Because the authority of the confessions is the Bible. I just want to be super clear about that.
Bible first, confessions follow. And if you ever read a statement in a confession that did not line up with scripture, then you could go ahead and throw that statement out.
Right.
Although I don't believe anything said in the 1689 does go against scripture. But all that to say, you know, some people will say, well, I'm Bible only. Like, I actually believe in sola scriptura. And so my challenge to you would be, there are different kinds of authority. So the church is given authority to teach. We do see in scripture that the Bible is sufficient for teaching. But we also see in the Great Commission that Christ told us to go make disciples and to teach them. And so the confessions are a great way, great tool to use to teach. So one of my favorite uses for the confessions are when I'm talking to, like, say, a Jehovah's Witness, especially people who have problems with the Trinity.
Yes.
If you are confused about the Trinity, the word Trinity is never in the Bible. Did you know that? If you want to read more about the
Doesn't
Trinity.
Doesn't that mean it's not real?
If you want to read more about the Trinity.
I didn't mean that to be mean. It sounded mean.
Then number one, obviously scripture is the best place to go. I would also recommend James White's book, The Forgotten Trinity. But
a good one.
Yeah, it's good. If you go to the confessions, there is a section. What's that?
It's okay. When I get the microphone in front of my face, I say words I've never said before.
I just pulled a Marcus.
Like, in weird ways. It's just a thing.
Legionary.
It's a thing.
And so one of my favorite things to do is to go to the 1689's section on the Trinity and then read the verses that are there.
Because so you're saying it's like a great resource.
It's a great resource to point people to. And so a lot of times when I have friends that are having discussions with Oneness Pentecostals or Jehovah's Witnesses, the place that I will send them is, hey, if you want a pretty exhaustive list of everything you can look at in scripture regarding the Trinity, then go to the confessions because you
or in your own personal study.
Right. Absolutely.
If you're thinking, like, I have questions about this thing.
Right.
Then the confession. And that's, I mean, they were written to say, this is what we believe. So if you're having a hard time backing up what you believe, or maybe you just want to affirm it in your head better, study it more, then go to the place that says, this is what we believe.
Right. What do we believe about literal 6-day creation? We'll go to the confession.
Right. It's a great place to go.
Yes.
For that.
Yes. So if your church is not, if someone's thinking, well, my church isn't confessional, I would say number one, well, yeah, you are. You probably have a statement of faith.
Right.
And just go ahead and pick up the 1689 because it's complete and awesome.
Right. And by being confessional, we're not saying, like, oh, congratulations, you're a part of this club. The confessions are a historically accepted.
Yes.
They're historically accepted writings. They were not compiled in 5 minutes.
No.
They're not a list of tweets. They are incredibly well studied.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, I don't even want to say like bullet points, but they're a summation
of the Christian faith.
Yes, that was collected.
The Reformed faith.
And, you know, the 1689 was done by Puritans.
Right.
So, you know,
not in 1689.
Like, no. So, you know, it was exhaustive. Like, they spent so much time. There is no Puritan that ever existed that was just like, let me just throw this together really quickly.
Right. And actually, you know, if someone, people ask a lot, well, what's a book you recommend to someone new to the faith? I don't know if it's like rude or not, but I'm like, well, the 1689, because right. it's a summation of the faith. And right. if you're tripped up by the language, because it's written in basically Old English, if that trips someone up, the founder's website actually has, I believe, they have a more translation of it, essentially, that's a bit more accessible.
Cool.
And I highly recommend that.
Okay. So, summary. The Bible is still our ultimate authority.
Yes. We believe in sola scriptura.
Yes.
And we love the confessions. They are an excellent resource that has been given to us by the church, and we should appeal to them, not as our first or final authority, but as an authority given to us by the church.
Yes. Great. Okay. So, the music stopped playing, but in case you were wondering why I have country music playing in the background, it's not because it's my favorite. I know Summer likes country music, and I like some country music. I'm not as big of a fan as her, but the reason why we're playing it is because we are going to play a little game here on Sheologians, and it's a game that I play with myself all the time, which apparently isn't normal, as I found out when I told Summer about this, because when I explained the game to her, I thought surely that she would be like, oh yeah, no, I do that all the time, but she does not, and I'm a big weirdo, but here we go. So I don't even know what this game's called. The best I can come up with is soundtracking. Come up with a better name for... Okay, so essentially the rules of the game are I'm going to play a song, and Summer and I are going to make it the soundtrack of a movie.
So we're going to play... through it.
We're going to play a song, and we're going to describe to you what is going on in this point in the movie, and I suggest you play this game by yourself in your car or with people you love.
Expand your imagination,
right? Because it's just the greatest, and I've been playing it since I was a child, so maybe you guys can go to iTunes and rate us and comment on Sheologians. Maybe in your comments you can say like, oh, I do this too, or you can say like,
or tell us
oh
what
my
song
gosh,
you want us to do next,
you're a freak. Yeah, or that, you know. Okay, so all right, this is our song. Let's soundtrack away.
Okay, feeling down home on the farm. I see plaid. Do you see plaid?
Dirty boots.
Stepping off a tractor.
Yes.
Or
Fields.
Slow-mo.
He's coming in. Stepping up, walking up the steps.
Wiping
of his cute
brow.
Country cottage. Hard end of a hard day of work.
Definitely a hard day of work.
Wipes his brow.
Pulling a beer from the fridge. PBR.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He's sitting on the couch.
He looks forlorn.
Right. I think maybe his girlfriend just broke up with him.
Thinking about her eyes.
You know, she's like, she's sweet and cute. And he really invested a lot into this.
He's saying amen. He's at church.
Right.
He's looking for...
Well, yeah, because he's so sad.
He's looking for the answer. Okay.
Which makes sense because, like, she wouldn't fulfill him, right?
Right. Naturally.
Because his identity is in Christ. So it would make sense that she's just a counterfeit for the joy that he's looking for.
So essentially the song Can I Get an Amen describes him looking for his identity elsewhere.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, did he just see her outside of the honky tonk?
Yeah, at the dance hall.
And she's with someone else.
She is. And all of a sudden, you know,
he understands.
He understands why she broke up with him, but he's still really heartbroken. And he's trying to reconcile this in his mind, why would she do this? How can I feel better?
You know, amens are really the closure of something.
Right.
And so he's asking if he can get closure.
Yes.
Can he get his amen to this relationship that he had?
Okay, now I think he's
accepting?
Hanging out. No, I think he's hanging out in like a bar.
Okay.
With some friends.
Okay. It's bringing comfort to him. He's realizing he can move on.
Well, but he's not quite right. He's not quite over it.
Okay.
His friends can tell something's wrong because like the sports team is playing and they're doing really well, but he's just like not
super into it. He ordered a Bud Light instead of an IPA.
Yeah.
Okay. He's well, except really
he's
in the
really
dumps.
Country, then he's probably not like he's a hipster cowboy.
Oh, well, I'm okay.
I guess
that.
Maybe IPA.
what do I know about beer?
So yeah, so he's you know still feeling the heaviness.
Okay.
Of the breakup.
But this Sunday he's going to go to church and.
I think this Sunday he's going to go to church. Right now he's sitting in the pew. Imagine it, sitting in the pew. He's like, what is going on with my life?
Pastor spoke to him.
And then the pastor says something that like, is biblically sound, of course.
Naturally. And he discovers.
And appeals to the confession.
Yes.
And all of a sudden he realizes, you know, Christ is my ultimate identity is in Christ. Yes. And he gives me value and worth.
God is sovereign, therefore this relationship wasn't meant to be. So on Monday, when he goes back out to the fields, he can work to the glory of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Right. And then, yes. Amen.
Amen.
There we go. And this, as the song ends, that was perfect.
Beautiful. That was a beautiful story.
Right. And they just get better and better. This was our first one. So I can totally assure you that was a great soundtracking moment, but there will be more and they will be awesome and they won't all be country. They won't all be involving cowboys.
Oh.
But this was our first soundtracking. I really, really hope you enjoyed it.
And go to sheologians.com.
Yes. Check out Summer's blog. It also lives at sheologians.com. And listen to some music that just hits you right
in the
heart spot.
And get yourself an amen.
And imagine you're in a movie. Imagine a movie's happening to someone else. And your life and imagination will be greatly enriched. I promise.
Joy. I love you.
I love you too.
Newborn baby, you.
I love you too. And I love everyone who's listening. I'm just going to... You know.
And we should cut this off now. What's even happening?
Okay, so listen to Sheologians on our website and listen next week when a new one comes out. And thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye. I've been thinking of you.